Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. February the 20th. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, the regular crew with you here today, and you out there. We're presented by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program for you each and every day right here on KGYM. Coming up, Mark Ironside will join us, and we'll look back at Iowa and Wisconsin and all things college wrestling. Look back at the high school event as well over the weekend. Mark was a big part of that, and get his impressions and his thoughts about that. We'll talk with him coming up in about 15 minutes or so, and we get ready for Iowa and Okie State coming up this weekend. First test, really, Mark Dukes. Not Mark Ironside. Mark Ironside not here yet, but first test for the Iowa wrestling program in quite a while coming up this weekend.
Yeah, we've talked in the past about how weak the schedule has been for Iowa. No, I mean, that's no reflection on Iowa necessarily, because the Big Ten, you know, makes the schedule. No Penn State, no Ohio State. But yeah, this is going to be a good capper to the end of the regular season, leading into the Big Tens and NCAA.
By the way, happy Love Your Pet Day out there.
Notice that, yeah.
Give your favorite pet out there an extra amount of attention today. Maybe a little extra treat. Treat him or her. You know, always treat them with kindness, but always maybe give them a little extra today. A little something. Something more, a little above and beyond for your pet, whether it be cat, dog, goldfish,
pig,
what have you, ferret. I know people that have ferrets. So whatever you got, give it a little extra attention and love today on National Pet Day. 319-366-1600 as we come to you from our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Well, not a good night for Iowa and Iowa State basketball last night, as both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones fall at home, as the Hawkeyes fall to Maryland, as Maryland winning it on a Fernando tip with about 8 seconds remaining to come away with the victory in that one. While Iowa State, they allowed tips, they allowed offensive rebounds, they allowed defensive rebounds, they allowed pretty much everything in their loss to the Baylor Bears, who just crashed the glass with reckless abandon last night. Plus 16. That doesn't happen very often, especially on the road. But that's what got Iowa State last night.
Two tough home losses and damaging for various reasons. Iowa aiming for a double bye, which is still attainable, but
getting
more difficult.
Yeah, that's pretty much gone the wayside.
And Iowa State vying for at least a share of the Big 12 Conference Championship, and you lose, three games at home now? Two in a row?
Correct.
The Hilton Magic hasn't held necessarily this year. Fred Hoiberg's appearance meant evidently nothing. He evidently didn't speak about rebounding. Because you hit it on the head, the rebounding for Iowa State was terrible. And Baylor was terrific. But as far as Iowa goes, it was a poor shooting night, 33% from the field for the game. I thought early on, when Maryland was really struggling, Iowa had an opportunity to take an early big lead, and it did not. And then Iowa found itself behind in the second half. Where have you seen that before? And having to come back and almost did it for the third game in a row. And Jordan Bohannon claiming he was fouled on that 3-point attempt. That's a matter of opinion. But Iowa with a 1-point loss to a very, very good team. Let's not forget that Iowa hasn't lost to a bad team.
No, they haven't.
Haven't beaten many upper echelon teams, save Michigan. This is going to be tough to try to get that double bye. And I was thinking to myself last night, Iowa was 0-3 in the Big Ten at one point. And if you would have told people that as of today, I would be 9-6 in the league, people would jump for joy, I think. But the matter of fact, losing at home is never a good thing. And now Iowa has to protect its home court Friday night against Indiana.
Yeah, an Indiana team that is just wounded.
But took Purdue to the buzzer last night.
Took Purdue to the buzzer in the ugly Big Ten game that ended up in the 40s. That had that was old school Indiana Purdue. You had low scoring. You had some fracases during the action. You had everything but Bobby Knight doing Bobby Knight things on the sidelines, along with Gene Cady last night. That was the only thing missing from that game. Harms with a tip-in there. Bruno Fernando with a tip-in at the end of the Iowa-Maryland game. Listen, I was there last night, took it in. I told you, I texted you during the game, this Maryland team, by far the most physical team I had seen all year at Carver-Hawkeye Arena.
That includes Michigan State?
Oh, it includes Michigan State. They ran circles around Michigan State. Now, was all of it on the up and up? No, but that's just basketball. And the officials were kind of letting them get away with a lot of things. Iowa as well last night. They kind of put the whistles in their pocket at times. And then there were other times that there were a phantom. There was a foul on Jordan Bohannon last night that he didn't touch the guy. And it showed on the replays. Didn't touch the guy yet. That was called. Tell you, Fernando is a man. Just an absolute man and a beast inside. And thinking about it going in and thinking about it at the game last night, and we were talking about it amongst the group of us, that this was a bad matchup for Iowa. Because what does Iowa like to do? They like to go inside, establish that inside game, and then let the outside game kind of play in there. Couldn't get the inside game going last night because this Maryland team just would not allow Iowa to do anything inside. Tyler Cook almost he had three baskets, and they were all special dunks, but that was all he did.
Took four shots.
Couldn't get the ball. Couldn't get shots when he did get touches inside. Because Fernando and the rest were just warriors in there.
Yeah, Fernando went for 11 and 11, but it seemed like he did so much more than
defensively.
Yeah, it seemed like he did so much more than that. And you talked about Cook, and Garza didn't do much. Greener didn't do much. And then on the outside, Joe Wieskamp couldn't get loose. He didn't make a basket.
And that allowed the defense to really beat up on Jordan Bohannon last night, and they did.
Yeah.
And he was frustrated. Genuinely frustrated.
It was, again, if Iowa had shot maybe 40-45%, Iowa would have won the game. But that wasn't the case. And I think you have to tip your cap to Maryland in that regard.
Absolutely. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in on the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line, Hertina Stocker Jewelers, they are located on the Penn Mall in Iowa City.
Poll question at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Which loss was tougher to swallow last night? Was it Iowa's or was it Iowa State's? And thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. That's a really tough question.
Really tough question, but I'm going to go with Iowa State. I'm going to go with Iowa State because Iowa State still had a chance to win the regular season championship. Still do, but it's kind of a long shot now.
Tied for fourth right now.
Two games out, and it's kind of a jumble behind Kansas State, still at the top of the Big 12 Conference. And when you lose three games, you lose two at home now in a row for Iowa State. And not only that, but each loss kind of takes you away a little bit more from that cozy arena about 20 minutes to the south. Not sure the NCAA committee, if Iowa State, unless they run the table and win the Big 12 tournament, which they have done before at Kansas City, at Hilton South, unless they do that, each loss kind of gets them away a little bit more from playing at Wells Fargo.
No, Iowa State has to go to TCU, which took the Cyclones down at Hilton.
And lost at home as well. Earlier on this week, TCU did. So that'll be coming up on Saturday. Not that the Iowa loss was pretty, mind you, but I think Iowa State had maybe a couple things more on the line. Iowa was not going to win the Big Ten. And know, that's just the way it is right now on February 19th and now February the 20th.
Anytime you lose at home, it's tough to swallow.
It is.
There's no doubt about that, no matter how good the competition is. Text line 4398, I watch a lot of basketball, and I'm confident no team complains to or about refs as much as Iowa. Bohannon wasn't fouled. Moss may have been in the, on the putback, but Moss didn't complain.
I don't think Moss was fouled on the putback. That was a very good putback, too. I did not think it was as good of a play that Iowa drew up against Rutgers at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that one was about the opposite. To have Jordan Bohannon go up against a double team, bigger guys getting jostled all night and try to force up a three, I thought just off the inbounds pass was just, I thought they could have gotten something better off of that. Just thought they could have gotten something better. I thought it was good that he took an early shot because they did have the opportunity to get a rebound, and Moss got the rebound. I did not think Moss was fouled at the end. Did not think he was fouled.
Watching in real time, I didn't think either one got fouled. I thought Bohannon took a bad shot.
They're not going to call that.
Not usually.
Not at the end of a game. Especially last night with that crew. They didn't call a whole lot. They let them play last night. Iowa definitely was frustrated. Everybody lets – hey, come on. Everybody lets officials get under the skin a little bit.
Well, you're going to have those comments in a one-point game or a three-point game or a four-point game. Every fan base complains about officiating.
Absolutely.
And it's oftentimes not warranted. Sometimes it is. Sometimes there's bad calls. Guess what? Your players make bad plays as well.
True.
Your coaches make bad decisions as well. So get over it.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in on the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line, phone line available as well, 319-366-1600, if you would like to weigh in as such. We're getting to the nitty-gritty as far as the end of the seasons are concerned as well, as the calendar nears the month of March, and you can kind of start to get a pecking order as far as where the tournaments are going to play out, as far as the conference tournaments are going to play out a little bit. By the way, kudos to the Drake Bulldogs.
Yeah.
You are leaders now in the Missouri Valley Basketball League.
21-7, a half game up in the league standings, and three games remaining in the Missouri Valley Conference. Drake does have a game, I believe, at Missouri State.
Where you and I is at tonight.
I think Missouri State, maybe the end of the season game, but wow, what a season for Drake.
Yep, 21-7 right now, and we will have UNI basketball coming up tonight for you on the FMs, 107.5, 106.3 FM, as UNI will be down in Springfield to take on the Missouri State Bears. And a big one for UNI tonight. No, UNI is not going to win the regular season. What UNI is trying to do right now is get a high finish, as high a finish as they can for Arch Madness.
It's positioning.
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Avoid Wednesday is what UNI is trying to do. Or no, Thursday. I'm sorry, Thursday. It goes Sunday, Saturday, Friday. Yes, avoid Thursday is what UNI is trying to do at the time. They get a win on the road tonight, and they would look decent as far as avoiding things. 319-366-1600.
It'd be 8-7 in the league, is that right?
For the Panthers?
Yeah.
With a win tonight?
Yeah.
I believe so. 319-366-1600, Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. That is the phone line as well. And Mark, this is a guy that should be south. He should be somewhere in Florida or Arizona at this time. Let's go to Bob Landis joining us here from Cedar Rapids.
How about that, Bob?
Thank you, guys. Mark, Mark, I got to get a hold of you yet on that book situation.
No problem.
And I will.
Okay, Bob.
You still interested in helping me with that?
Sure will.
Former coach,
okay.
Bob Landis,
yeah,
by the way.
We sold our place down there in January, and we decided we'd come home because all of our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren are right here in Cedar Rapids. So we thought, what are we doing down there for what we have left? So we're here.
Hope you got somebody to clear your drive, Bob. My goodness.
I do, but I'm still out there messing with. I was out there at 4:30 this morning. But there are people in our neighborhood that take care of that. So, yeah.
What do you think about the basketball?
Yeah. So I was going to mention one thing to you also. You know, I'm the only living coach to ever coach a high school game at Carver. There's only been one ever.
That's correct.
And Etch and I faced off. And Mark, I'm sure you were there that night.
I did cover it, and it wasn't a very high-scoring game, Bob, as I recall.
I was there as well.
We lost Jim Lancaster a little earlier, you know, and we had to move folks around, and no particular excuse. Etchin got the win, and I was happy. I really was. I hated to see our kids lose, but I was so happy to see Etch get a state championship. He deserved it, and that's okay. But, yeah, I'll tell you, I didn't enjoy playing down there because you don't hear anything. You don't hear the crowd. I think we had 9,000 there that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was moved because both teams were terrific teams, and wherever they played in Cedar Rapids, including the Cell Center, whatever it was at the time,
it was sold out.
Wasn't going to hold the crowd.
It was sold out for the regular season doubleheader there.
Yeah.
Sold
exactly.
out.
And there was also that night, interestingly, City High, I think, was playing, or Iowa City West and City High were playing in another district final that same night there. And if you remember, it snowed unbelievably. It was terrible weather.
Mm-hmm.
But people still showed up.
Yeah.
And that it was exciting to be there, though. Don't get me wrong; it was great for the kids, except for the outfit.
Teams.
Anyway, I was you were talking about the Iowa State. I was I think I was most disappointed in Iowa State, and I had a lot of concerns about. You know, they're great 3-point shooters down there, and there's no question about it. That when they're on, but they clearly weren't. And I thought the last 5 minutes of the game, when they could have been taking the ball to the hole, which they can also do very well, getting to the line and that sort of thing, they just continued to throw them up there. And, of course, they were being out-rebounded, something terrific. And I just thought it would have been wiser for them to get the ball inside, drive the ball to the hole, get to the line, and have an opportunity to win the game. But they didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa State at times falls in love with the three-pointer.
Well, they do. And some nights they have a right to. But I just thought that they were forcing a lot of those shots up. And when they did take the ball to the hole, they scored or they got to the line. And I was just, I thought that they were their own worst enemies in that regard. And I was disappointed. I have fun watching them. And I enjoyed the game up to the fact that they lost. But in Iowa, that's a strange game. You know, I think you can't underestimate Maryland defensively. They're solid. They're not always very effective offensively, but last night I think their defense won the game for them.
I would agree. Because it goes back to, if you got a guy, and I know it's going to infuriate Iowa fans, but if you got a guy like an Adam Woodbury that protects that basket like Fernando does, that makes things a lot tougher on the opposition.
I knew they were going to have some trouble with him. The other Davis, what's the young guy's name? Davis, the other
yes.
big kid.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name exactly. He's pretty solid too, but he's young and not as physical. But I'll tell you, the other gentleman is a player, and he is very tough in there.
Yeah.
And Iowa just their guys, their big guys. I thought Iowa's big guys would match up, but they did last night.
Yeah. Bob, we got a text one of our listeners, hearing your voice, says, "Say hi to Coach Landis and thank him for ruining my day back on March 1st, 1984." From Scott Reed.
A Lynn Mar alum, by the way.
that was a sad night.
Unless you were wearing green and gold, as you mentioned, Bob.
That's right. I know, that's for sure. Well, I'll tell you, I can't thank you guys enough for the years you've been at this, and the Mark for the work at the Gazette. I always appreciated you when I knew that you were doing the writing of our games, and all that you guys give to Cedar Rapids. You guys and Bob Brooks, over the years, I think, meant more to this city than anything. And we just happened to be in that period where I thought maybe it was the highlight for Iowa, for Cedar Rapids Metro basketball those years,
yeah,
from about 1979 to 86 or 7.
They were good
and,
years.
And I have copies of the papers and your articles that you wrote, Mark, and articles about us. You're always fair, and that's a highlight of my coaching life, to have you two guys involved. So I just wanted to have the opportunity to thank you and get my two cents in regarding those games.
That's great, Bob. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Bob.
The kind comments, and great to have you back in town.
And Mark, I'd appreciate it if you would somehow get to me a way that I can reach you.
You got it, Bob. I will do.
And I'll appreciate it. So take care, and God bless you guys. We'll
Thanks.
Maybe talk to you later.
Thanks, Thank Bob. You, Bob. Appreciate it. Coach Bob Landis joining us, who won multiple state championships.
Undefeated team in Mount Vernon.
Linmar.
Before he got to Linmar.
In 83.
He's really right about, you know, you can talk about the days, and we're getting off the track from college basketball, but those 1980s, I mean, you had Kennedy and Linmar winning state championships. Regis won 3 out of 4. I mean, there's some pretty good Jefferson teams, pretty good Washington teams, but that was...
And then wrapping up kind of with Prairie starting their run with mm-hmm. Denny Thiessen coming up. At that time. So.
Yeah, it was really quite a time for high school basketball in the metro area, and it's been good lately, too. Don't get me wrong.
Yep, very good lately. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a break, come back. Mark Ironside running a couple minutes late, he tells me, so he'll be here in just a little bit. So stay with us. We'll have more coming your way after this right here on KGYM.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at DuPaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through DuPaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that DuPaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at DuPaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
If we build it, they will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired at your business, but your customers do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Whatever your business needs, design, remodeling, repair, they'll take care of it. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
Call them for a quote. Jackson Remodeling and Repair, 319-214-6943.
Hi, Sean Holly here with two good reasons to shop the winter sale at Holly's Shop for Men. First, if you know what you want or you just like to browse, there are plenty quality items to choose from. But if you want help, we have a dedicated staff of experienced men's clothing consultants to help. Second, you can save as much as 70% right now. Great selection, help when you need it, and up to 70% off. The winter sale, Holly's Shop for Men, Lindale Mall.
All across Iowa, you might notice people really smiling.
Good hit, way to go!
Really laughing. Really living.
So good to see you, Grandma.
That's because more Iowans choose Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield for their health insurance. Our members know they can count on us to be with them when they need us most. Having that peace of mind gives them the freedom to enjoy every moment life gives them to help them live to the fullest. So it's no wonder Wellmark members smile so much. Learn more at Wellmark.com.
You guys want to do it?
Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on sunny side, always on the sunny side.
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Mark explaining to Mark what he needs to do to help out with the coverage of the state wrestling tournament.
I think we both could add something to it. I don't know, but Mark added a lot to it on the broadcast and did a terrific job and dressed
immaculately. Very nicely. Very nicely, though.
Had a nice shirt.
It was.
Yeah.
Selby take you to dinner at least?
no dinner.
Bob didn't take you to dinner?
No, but I did get they did order us in some pizza, which by the time it got to us was extremely cold, so might as well have gone for the salad at that point.
Mark Ironside joining us right now, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, located on Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-V. Stop on by, tell Kurt hi, and tell him everybody at KGYM sent you. And thanks to Kurt for helping us out with our wrestling coverage here on KGYM. Of course, Mark was at Wells Fargo for, gosh, what, one Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? 4 days you were over there.
4 days, and I'll be back there Saturday and Sunday this weekend as well, too.
For the kids.
For the kids' state tournament, yep.
Yeah, they go at it. And hey, they care just as much as the guys that were there last Saturday night.
Just ask the parents.
That's the one big difference.
big difference there. Yeah. These parents act like those kids are wrestling for Olympic gold medals at that point in time.
Not all of them.
I mean, probably 75% of them.
Oh, yeah.
You can talk to them all you want, but they just can't grasp it.
We'll have a show about that someday.
What stood out to you most at the traditional meet? I mean, West Delaware had a great series, the duels and the traditional state meet. Really powerful team, and I think that's one thing that stood out to me. And then Don Bosco's really domination, and Waverly Shellrock coming through when people thought maybe Southeast Polk would win it.
Yeah, I mean, West Delaware, that was good for their community. It's just a great wrestling community. Such good people up there. Just a really tight-knit group of kids that Voss has in there right now, and it showed. You know, they didn't have any finalists, no state champions.
It was just a really solid group at every weight.
It just, they did good, you know, all up and down, and not to take anything away from them because the state title is a state title, but there really no other teams that, you know, really had a really good bunch of, you know, to compete with, like, overall, you know. There, it was just really spread out in the 2A class. I mean, it was close. It was super close, mm-hmm. a tight race, tight team race, but as far as, like, there was no team that had, like, a nice, good stacked team this year, you know, like Waverly Shellrock or even Southeast Polk, for that matter. It was just kind of weird, you know. But that's what, you know, wins state titles. And you know, sometimes as a team like West Delaware, where there's no finalists, but they get the job done early on in the tournament and in the wrestlebacks, and hey, you know, they did what they had to do. So Waverly Shellrock, I think, surprised everybody.
In January, if you said Southeast Polk was not going to win this, I mean, people would have looked at you like you were weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you go and you wrestle it. You know, I think after getting beat on Wednesday night, I think that probably added a little fuel to the fire for Waverly Shellrock, and they came ready to wrestle all weekend. They did great, and you know, the pressure wasn't on them at all. And I think that they just stepped up and they got, and there was a chance the whole time, but it wasn't a very good chance. But that's why you wrestle them. Bottom line, that's why you wrestle them. And then Don Bosco was just
too deep.
Just, yeah, those guys were just
for
solid.
Lisbon's three hammers.
Yeah, exactly. Just so solid up and down the lineup, and You know, Lisbon just didn't have a full squad to be able to hang with a team like what Don Bosco had.
Well, Brad Smith kind of got all he could out of that team, I think, didn't he?
Well, you ask Brad, and he'll tell you that he should have gotten a little bit more here or there, you know. But, I mean, three champs, seriously, that's pretty darn good. I don't know if there was a school there that had more than three champs this weekend. Not that I can think of off the top of my head. I know there were some teams that had three and four finalists, but nobody had more than three champs. So that's pretty impressive. They have a pretty solid group of kids there. That Kobe Seabrook, he graduated, but Cale Happel's back. Avila's back. He was only a freshman at 26. So things look really good for Brad Smith and company in the future.
Who impressed you the most? I mean, any class, any team. I mean, Happel was good. Happel was really.
I'd probably say Happel.
You say Cale Happel?
Yeah, I'd say Cale Happel. Yeah, for sure. He did really, really well. And then Hayden Taylor out of Solon, their state champ, a freshman, who beats the returning state champion, 45-0, undefeated record, seeded number one, ranked number one, and he technical falls him.
No, I want to ask you about that kid, Mark, because you saw a lot more matches than I did. And I asked KJ Pilcher about it yesterday. The move he used, a tilt of some kind, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want you to demonstrate on me or anything like that. But it was so efficient. I wonder why, you know, this is a defending state champ. He can't figure out how to avoid it,
it? I was kind of wondering that, too, as I was watching it. You know, I could see getting caught in that once, but two, three, four, five times, giving up your – basically, he was just giving up his arm and his wrist over and over and over. But the one thing that Hayden was doing well is he was working it from both sides, too. So that helps a little bit, too. But I was kind of with you there, Mark. You know, defending state champion, undefeated. I didn't expect someone like of that caliber.
How do you defend it? Get on all fours as much as you can?
Hand control, you know. Elbows back, hand control, back pressure. Honestly, a lot of basics. You know, you'll give up a cheap tilt once in a while here and there. That's why they call it a cheap tilt, you know, a little bit, because it's kind of a cheap way of scoring points. But it doesn't typically happen over and over and over. But at the same time, Spencer Lee makes it look pretty easily, too, because he's really good at that.
Yeah, he is. And this Taylor kid, I think, is going to be something special here. But, some good stuff happening over there in Des Moines at the state tournament. Well, we had college wrestling, too, going on. Iowa had senior day as they took on Indiana. Senior night, I guess, is a better way to put it. And 37-9, and then came back and won at Wisconsin 35-2. Marinelli's Wrestler of the Week in the Big Ten. He's National Wrestler of the Week. And I know that was it was a big day for Marinelli with the background of his fiance's brother up there, and they were honoring him in Madison Sunday. So, you know, he was sky high to go out and do something cool.
Yeah, that was. It was kind of a Cinderella ending to that match there and to that dual meet for Marinelli. You know, with his former kind of, so to speak, brother-in-law being killed tragically in a car accident this summer, who wrestled for Wisconsin. It was their starting 133-pounder. Super, super great kid. Just a bright kid. Just brought so much energy to everybody around him. And it was a good tribute to him. It was really nice of Wisconsin to do what they did. But it wasn't one of Bono's kids. He never coached him. That was Barry Davis. Bono just came in this year, but still Bono stepped up and did something really special for Mariah, our wrestling manager, which was his brother, her brother, and then her fiance, Alex Marinelli, who was very tight with him as well, too. And Alex Marinelli is wrestling, you know, Wick, which is a super, super good kid. He's wrestling. He's getting beat in the third period. Doesn't look like he's going to win this match. Can't get out from the bottom, but he found a way to get it done, takes it into overtime, and wins it in grand fashion. And I tell you what, it was pretty special match, special moment for Alex Marinelli and Mariah and the family and just for everybody in wrestling right there. That was pretty cool.
What happened at the end of the Stoll match? Both teams penalized a point.
Well, I think, you know, Stoll, from what I didn't see Stoll push. I don't remember what the guy's name was that he was wrestling.
Hilger.
I guess after Stoll got ridden out, he was frustrated and kind of gave Hilger a little bit of a shove as he was getting up. Hilger did not take that kindly at all. So he retaliated by just, I mean, he pushed Stoll extremely hard from the back, right in the back of the shoulder, almost basically like a punch in the back of the shoulder. And then Stoll had just taken his headgear off, and this is before they shook hands. And as he took his headgear off, it was kind of coming down his side, and he just whipped it right back at him, threw his headgear at him, just whipped it to him, kind of underhand, like softball pitch. And so, you know, then they just deducted a team point from both guys. So
that's kind of nothing new this year, no. Unfortunately.
I mean, the thing is with Sam Stoll is, you know,
he was frustrated.
There is, and there's going to be a lot of frustration there. But here's the thing is, you know, Sam Stoll has to learn to know that either one, he's going to have to figure out a way to get out from the bottom because guys are going to choose top just like he did. And he's going to have to learn to get out from underneath there with the bum knee that he has and the big leg brace on there he has. Or he's gonna get ridden. He's got to learn how to defend, you know, someone riding with a leg in or an ankle. And the other thing he's going to have to do is start utilizing the neutral position at the beginning of the match, you know, with a little bit more urgency and not just going to the well for the same two-on-one all the time. I mean, he's gonna have to start working around this injury a little bit, changing things up in order to start winning some very important wrestling matches because otherwise he's going to be really easy to figure out. And you know, he's kind of easy to predict. And it's going to be frustrating. It's going to be very frustrating, especially with the bum knee. And the thing is Stoll's got a heart of gold. He's trying hard. He's just going to have to dig deep and start changing some things up and try and figure something out, you know, down this home stretch.
Where is he going to be seated?
Low.
At the Big Tens?
I don't know.
It's
going to
be five-ish?
Yeah, I would say five-ish probably in there.
Yeah.
It's low. It's going to be low. There's no doubt. He's going to have a tough road to hoe, you know. And but, you know, honestly, when it comes to heavyweight in the Big Ten, it doesn't really matter if you're one or five, to be honest with you.
Because you're going
to
wrestle.
All those guys, you could wrestle that tournament five times over and have five different winners. You know, so, I mean, it's just a loaded, loaded weight class. It really, really is.
Sunday, Gallagher Iba Arena, the premier duel on Iowa's schedule, and we've known that all season long. You've wrestled there. You know the environment. Perhaps you can clue us in on what that's like. But you look up and down both lineups, and, man, there's going to be some hellacious matches.
I tell you what, this is not the one duel meet out of the entire season that I want to miss. And unfortunately, I need to go be with my business and what's most important there. So I'm not going to be able to make that flight out to Stillwater on Saturday for the wrestling match on Sunday. And really, really bummed about it. I will obviously be following it. I'll be watching it while I'm trying to sell shirts, print shirts, and everything else. Hopefully I don't mess up anybody's spelling of their name or whatever. But it's going to be an interesting duel meet. I mean, honestly, both teams. I do not want to predict anything out of this at all whatsoever. There's so many matches here that could go either way. Iowa, honestly, could win probably eight matches or they could lose eight matches. I mean, that's how close this duel meet really is. They need to make sure that they show up and they're ready, and they've had this one starred and highlighted on their calendar all year long. So I know that Coach Tom Brands is doing everything he can to have the team prepared as much as he can for this Oklahoma State team. They're ranked number two. We're ranked number three. It's great that we have this as our last dual meet going into the postseason. Win or lose, this is going to give the guys a really good opportunity, something to gauge themselves off of after wrestling, you know, Maryland, Indiana, Wisconsin, and they wrestled pretty well against Wisconsin. There were some matches in that were pretty close that didn't need to be close that we ended up winning. We were winning a lot of those close ones, but they're going to have to wrestle a lot better against Oklahoma State if they're going to be Oklahoma State than we did against Wisconsin. But I'm anxious to see when the competition gets tougher, are they going to raise their level of wrestling as well, too. And I really believe they will. I think that they will. And it's fun to go into environments like Iba Gallagher Arena. And it's a very hostile environment. I think, like I said a couple weeks ago, the Nebraska is probably even a little bit more hostile than what Iba Gallagher usually is. But they're going to be very similar. Very similar venues in size. Iba's a little bit bigger now. But any time that you walk into the Oklahoma State Wrestling Room to get workout in, whether it be Saturday evening or Sunday morning for your cut workout, and you see John Smith sitting in there and the Okie State guys in there, and you're all in the same room at the same time, and that's a pretty historic room too. And it's just it's got a very intense feel to it. It's got a different feel in the air, and it's something that you don't really ever forget. You know, if you're going to battle, and you know what it's about, and it's that moment of truth. It's just like when you walk in there, you're so alert, and your awareness is extremely high, and you know that you got to be on point with everything that you do. That's basically what you train for. That's what you live for, to be a wrestler, is moments like this. It's going to be an absolute dogfight for both teams. And I am very, very bummed out and disappointed that I'm going to miss it, to be honest with you.
If they start right out of the – if they go in order, you know, there are key matches all over, like you said. But coming out of the shoot with Spencer Lee.
I think they will. John Smith's not one they usually draw. Nick Pacini's ranked
fourth.
Was that
1-4? 1-4? 2-4?
Yeah, 2-4.
2-4.
Pacini's undefeated. He's having a great season here. And if anybody remembers the last time that Spencer Lee wrestled Pacini at Iowa City last year, came out, got a huge lead. That was his first match in Carver-Hawkeye Arena. And then got really tired, and Pacini came back and made it a pretty close match. So Spencer will remember that, I'm sure. And then you go to 133, where you've got, you know, Dayton Fix, who's ranked second in the country, and DeSanto, he's up to third now. So there's a 2-3. So right out of the gate, you got a 2-4 and a 2-3. I mean, that's pretty good wrestling. And that match between DeSanto and Fix, now that is going to be full of nothing but action the entire time. It's going to be so fun to watch. And, you know, and you can go up and down the line. I mean, there's going to be so many good matches.
Could come down to heavyweight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It could come down to 197 is going to be a very interesting match, too, where, you know, Warner, he's ranked fourth, and he's taking on Weigel, who's ranked sixth, but it don't really matter. Those two guys, I don't really think they're one's favored over the other. It's going to be really interesting to see Jacob Warner wrestle against a guy that's a little bit bigger and stronger, very powerful. Hard to score on. Jacob Warner's kind of defensive himself. He's such a great counter wrestler. Needs to try and find some offense of his own. It'll be interesting to see how this matchup plays out between those two.
It is. It will be interesting. And that place, like I said, very historic, and they're right on top of you, too. That's the one thing I like about Oklahoma State. I mean, you wrestled there. I just get to watch, but... I mean, it's just got to be you should be able to hear everything.
You know, there's two decks in there, like a lower level and upper level. Yeah. And I remember when I went there and we were wrestling there, and I'll never forget it. And the fact that when we were there, I think Okie State for this one dual meet, Okie State was ranked one and we were ranked two. And we won all matches. We won 9 out of 10 matches. The only match we lost was Daryl Weber, our 157-pound national champion that year, who beat Mark Branch in the finals that year. He was hurt, and he couldn't wrestle, so we had our backup wrestle, Mark Branch, who was the returning national champion at the time, and our backup even took him down 2 times in a row right off the whistle, or out the first whistle in that match. Ended up getting beat, but it was pretty interesting. But anyway, I just remember the crowd and everybody like flicking Gable off and just from the upper deck and just screaming and yelling and calling them all these names. And I just remember, you know, I've never been in quite – Prairie Jeff meets used to be some, you know, pretty close to that.
It was worse than that.
Yeah. But yes. In college –
Jeff Bettendorf,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, they were getting away with a lot of stuff there. And I was just like, where's the respect for Dan Gable, you know? But that was one of the things that made you want to go out and – you know, win just as much as you want to win for yourself. So Coach Gable didn't have these guys, you know, saying crap to him, you know, to his face. I didn't want that to be on me.
Hey, tomorrow night, Iowa State and you and I get together, and that's a sold-out meet. And Iowa State has really kind of come on and had a nice meet against Iowa. And you and I know, has high hopes as well. And this is going to be an interesting match, I think.
Oh, yeah, extremely interesting match. This is a big, big in-state rivalry between you and I and Iowa State. This is an opportunity for you and I to really kind of I'm not going to say make a name for themselves, because Doug Schwab, they already have. They've got a good team this year. But from a recruiting standpoint, if they could beat Iowa State right now, when Iowa State's really coming on and having a great season, they've been undefeated, you know, through the MAC conference, whatever they're in, for such a long time until they ran into Oklahoma State. But this would be a great win for I think, you and I right now. You and I don't really know who's favored. I think maybe on paper, you and I is probably favored, but I don't really go
but
by
it's
that.
Close. It's close.
It's very, very close. It's going to be a great match. It's great. You talk about a really good environment. It's going to be good for these wrestlers to be in an environment, in a situation like that. Fun to watch.
And it's interesting because you get coaches. I was wrestling Oklahoma State. You and I and Iowa State doing their thing at the end of the year. You want to get that last duel before you get into tournament season, so you can, you know, a lot of different aspects to it. You can see what you need to improve on. You know, are you complacent a little bit? Well, here's this guy who's number two in the country. You know, don't get complacent.
Yeah, I like the fact that, you know, Okie State is our last duel right now going into the postseason, because, like I said, win or lose, it's going to give these guys kind of a lot to gauge themselves on, look a lot of film to look at, a lot to be thinking about, a lot to be motivated about. They come off a win against Oklahoma State, they're going to be sky high, ready to go. If they come off and it wasn't a loss, then they're going to have a lot to be motivated about, you know, in that department as well too. So obviously, I want to be able to come out of there with a win. That's extremely important to Iowa, and it's big for the program. And anytime you go into Iba Gallagher Arena and you can pull out of there as a winner, that's an achievement in itself, especially right now when, you know, Oklahoma State's got as good of a team they've had in years, and ranked second in the country right now.
Talked about Prairie Jeff meets, and I just got a text from our great friend and sponsor, Kurt Gustafson.
Oh, yeah?
Your insurance man. Jeff grad that he is.
Love
him. He married a Prairie gal.
Oh, yeah?
34 years ago. Engagement nearly got canceled at a Jeff Prairie meet in 83 or 84.
I like that. That's good stuff.
That is really, really good. And that's about the truth, too, because that's how heated those battles were.
Oh, man.
Back then.
In the day. There
really wasn't a whole lot of anything much better. I mean, that was scrapping, and that was wrestling, and that was when men were men and boys were boys.
True. All right, we'll let you go, and sorry you can't make it this weekend, but we'll talk about it next week.
Work calls.
As he lines his pockets, I mean, come
yeah,
on.
But he'd rather be in Stillwater.
Hey, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of organization to make this happen this weekend.
I know.
Mark, you should just come along and work the weekend, see what it's about.
What's it pay?
Well, it kind of depends on how the weekend goes.
Cold pizza?
Yeah.
There's some leftover pizza.
I pack peanut butter and honey is what I pack.
There
peanut
you
butter,
go.
Honey,
I love
and bread.
Peanut butter. Crunchy or smooth?
A smooth.
Oh, God. Come on.
Smooth. Honey inside of it. Yeah, with honey.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, thanks, fellas.
Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We're going to get you Brick Alley is sponsoring an AM Extra Point, Sports Center Extra Point here. And Brick Alley, of course, located in Uptown Marion.
How do you after work? How about 20 beers on tap, a 180-inch big screen with stadium seating, and happy hour from 3 to 6? Yeah, that's the way you after work. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar in Uptown Marion. It's the place to go with the guys, catch some sports, blow off steam with darts or a game of pool, and take a load off. Hey, you gotta go to work, but when you clock out, it's time for after work. After work. At Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
ESPN Radio Extra Point with Will Kane.
These kind of superstars, these kind of free agents, you don't get this opportunity if you're the Padres year in and year out. So you got to strike, and maybe you can't be picky, and maybe you can't be individualistic. But when you're handing out 10-year, $300 million contracts on a good theory, a building plan, you do need to step back and ask, right, it adds up, black and white. It adds up on paper. But is Manny Machado the guy that we're going to be married to for 10 years? Is Manny Machado the guy we should take a blood oath with? Is Manny Machado the guy who said, I run them out when I feel like it. Really? Marriage material? The theory is solid. The timing is right. The individual is in question. But Manny Machado is now a San Diego Padre.
Get more from Will Kane today from 3 to 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, or just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio.
As we get deeper into the college basketball season, it becomes pretty clear that the top-ranked teams are those who landed star players during the recruiting season. But if you're running a business, where do you go to find top recruits? LinkedIn, where people go every day to make connections, grow their careers, and discover new job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs takes the time to learn more about who you are looking for and then recommends qualified candidates, many of whom you won't be able to reach anywhere else. The truth is, over 70% of the U.S. workforce is on LinkedIn, and posting your job on LinkedIn gives you the best chance of finding and starting a conversation with your next star recruit. It's no surprise a new hire is made every 8 seconds using LinkedIn. Build your winning team by posting your job opportunity on LinkedIn and visit linkedin.com/sports to get $50 off your first job post. LinkedIn.com.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When a client calls, what do you want them to hear? Your personal voicemail?
Hey, you've reached Greg's cell phone. I'm away right now, obviously. Leave a message and maybe I'll get back to you.
Or something a little more buttoned up, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Thanks for calling Green Landscaping. To make an appointment, dial 1. For billing, dial 2. To speak with Greg Smith, dial
3. There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
Right now at CVS Pharmacy, you can earn up to 50 extra bucks rewards each year just for filling prescriptions. Which means the medicines you take to stay healthy might also do a little something for the health of your wallet. So visit your local CVS Pharmacy to sign up and start earning up to 50 extra bucks rewards on prescriptions. Terms and conditions apply. Not valid on all prescriptions, including those purchased in Arkansas, New Jersey, or New York. Other state restrictions apply. See cvs.com/rxrewards or the pharmacy for details.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. No, we have not forgotten about Bowling Night in America. It is coming up tonight, and it is going to be a fun night out there. Our Bowling Night in America preview brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids.
Beautiful night for bowling.
It is, isn't it?
And by the way, good luck to the Class 3A bowlers who will compete in the state tournament tomorrow in Waterloo. At Cadillac Lanes, that postponed from today. At any rate, in the Adult Evergreen League, week 23 of 32, we're on the back end of things, and we are on the back end of the standings
gotta
right now.
Got to make a push.
At 10th out of 14 teams, you got to make a push, and it starts tonight against the same team we bowled last week, Quaker Oats. And that in lanes 29 and 30. You will be there. You will text me. You will text me positive results. Scott.
I will try. I will try to do that. Yeah, looking forward to it. A little respite from basketball.
Yes.
Tonight. All works out beautifully. If you want some information about Open Bowling, the terrific pro shop that they have out there, and other assorted topics about May City Bowl, we encourage you to do so. Give them a call at
362-0136 or visit the website maycitybowlcr.com.
Well, we have five there tonight. I think we will. I think we'll be all right. That's the first hill to climb coming up tonight. Tonight, I hope we get to see a little Duke, North Carolina out there. Tickets going for about $2,600 a pop, Mark. Yeah, it's going to be a great game.
Usually well worth it at Cameron Indoor.
I think Duke's going to win by quite a bit, though, tonight at home. We'll see. They're playing very, very well. But Carolina, it's a rivalry, so you never know what is going to happen. We'll see how that plays out. Coming up tomorrow, we will preview the Girls State Basketball Tournament. Jeff Linder of the Gazette, Kevin Lehman talking college basketball with us coming up on the Thursday edition of the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years.